Israel, komm im Schmarr Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Mr. Lincoln and the Rabbi, by Morton Wishengrad, is presented in honor of Lincoln's birthday and concludes this series of Eternal Light dramas marking the observance of the Civil War centennial.
Benjamin Zold was my name, and I was the rabbi of the congregation Oheb Shalom in the city of Baltimore. 1861. I shall tell you a story of that year, the story of a man called Simeon Marks and another man called Abraham Lincoln. And if what I have to tell holds more in the telling of legend than of history, I pray you to consider the words of a sage of Israel, that while history has her truth, legend has her truth also. There was peace in the little study of my house on Utah Street. The Sabbath sermon was nearly finished, and I was content. Content, that is, until two members of the congregation paid me an unexpected visit.
Very well, I shall. Rabbi Zold, we don't want you to deliver that sermon.
Well, that's curious, Simeon. How do you know what's in it?
Well, we can guess what's in it.
Jacob's right. We're Southerners, Rabbi Zold. We don't like slavery any more than you do. But we're Southerners, and we won't see the South attacked. We're your friends. That's why we're suggesting you don't deliver that sermon.
You're quite right, Simeon. It is a sermon against slavery.
Tear it up, Rabbi Zold. Stop preaching against the law of Maryland. What good are sermons delivered to empty pews?
I understand you, Simeon.
We don't want to be harsh, Rabbi. We like you and respect you. We think you're needed here.
Rabbi, these sermons have split the congregation down the middle. It's got to end, Rabbi Zold. And if it doesn't, well, you will have no choice but to leave.
Drink your tea, Benjamin, before it gets cold.
Oh, it's all right, Sophie. I just want to think.
There are other congregations. There's a place waiting for you in New England.
Baltimore is my home. Sophie, I'm a rabbi. If I have a function, it's to mediate between men. I don't want my sermons to be a bleeding sore.
Your tea is getting cold. And stop worrying. Besides, Mr. Ephraim is going to be here soon to talk about that pulpit in Boston.
I know, Sophie.
What are you going to tell Mr. Ephraim?
I don't know, Sophie. I just don't know.
Nice country, this, Rabbi Zold.
I suppose it's rather cold in Boston.
It was when I left, but I like Boston. You couldn't get me to stay here for all the money in the world.
No, Mr. Ephraim?
No. Rabbi, slavery is a curse against humanity. Kill a man and you kill just one man. Enslave him and you enslave his generations. It's a blacker sin than murder.
Mr. Ephraim, will you forgive a personal question?
Yes, yes, of course.
What? South.
To offer you a new pulpit, Rabbi.
And what else?
Well, I've got to buy some cotton. Our mill's running low. And you don't make textiles without cotton.
Slave cotton, Mr. Ephraim.
We can't help ourselves, Rabbi Zold. That's a mighty unfriendly thing to say.
The South can't help itself any more than the North. Oh! Mr. Ephraim,
Thank you for driving me to the station, Rabbi.
Try to understand me. I hate slavery, but I don't blame the South for it. I don't blame the North. But the North bears equal responsibility with the South. Southern slave cotton makes Yankee mills turn.
Rabbi Zold, I suppose it means you've turned us down.
Yes, Mr. Reefer. If they'll have me, I'll stay here in Maryland.
Suit yourself, Rabbi. Tell me, if the war comes, where will you stand? With the North or with the South?
That's a hard question, Mr. Reefer. I'll give you a hard answer. Hard for me, at any rate. I'll stand with the North.
I better go back home before my head spins. Isn't anybody clear about anything?
There was a French philosopher named Pascal, Mr. Ephraim. He said once that truth is two opposites. That's about the only thing that is clear. I'm going to stick to my congregation, Mr. Ephraim. That's all I can do.
Lay of the chor, lay of the chor, lay of the chor.
The sermon Simeon asked me not to deliver was in my hand. The service was over. The congregation was tense, for I had announced a sermon and a discussion to follow. Members of the congregation, I am reluctant to be a cause of dissension in your midst. Yet it seems to me that not I, but the word that we live by, is that cause. That word, this book, cannot be warrant or authority against humanity itself. Evil cannot be ratified by law. Custom cannot make sin a tradition. There are some I know who open the Bible to find sanction for slavery. They falsify the word of God. Will you let the forger find sanction in the Bible for forgery? Or the adulterer find sanction for adultery? Simeon Marks, you came to me in friendship and gave me friendly counsel. Forgive me for addressing you this way, but Simeon, how shall I answer evil, if not with justice? If slavery is a right, humanity is a fraud. And if I remain silent, I am without conscience, or else I am a hypocrite.
May I speak, Rabbi?
Please do, Simeon.
There's a Negro in my house called Jim. I have taught him to read. I have clothed him. I have tended him when he is sick. Am I evil because of that?
No, Simeon.
I am no scholar, but I know a bit of Talmud. You may not eat clean bread, and thy servant eat moldy bread. You may not drink old wine, and he new wine. You may not sleep on soft cushions, and he on straw. But is that how I have treated Jim? I do not think so.
You are a master who is kind to his slave. There is evil in that, Simeon.
But I am not responsible for the system. I did not make the law of Maryland. I did not make the decisions of the Supreme Court. I was born in the South, and I am proud of that fact. Rabbi, you know in your heart and soul that there is more understanding and consideration for the Negro here than there is in the North.
You beg the question, Simeon.
I don't see that.
Your kindness is a scourge more bitter than the whip.
In the name of God, how can you say that, Rabbi Zold?
I say it because it is true, Simeon. This man, Jim, is a person.
I treat him with consideration.
It is an easy thing for the master to be benevolent. Simeon, you cite the Talmud. Look in Mishnah Sanhedrin. Only one man was created by God as the common ancestor of all men, for the sake of the peace of the human race, that one may not say to another, my ancestor was better than thine.
Have I said that I am better than Jim?
Your actions say it, Simeon. Your benevolence says it.
Isn't it better for Jim to stay with me and be treated well?
That is no answer. He is a human being. He deserves your good treatment as a man, not as your slave.
What if I freed Jim? One man. One among millions. Is it right to ask me to do what no one else does?
Simeon, I remind you that you are a Hebrew, a descendant of those Israelites who were the first to proclaim liberty. I remind you, Simeon, and I remind this congregation, what Israel has always represented. I recall to you that during the climax of the Roman slave imperium, that it was the sect of the Essenes which first declared slavery to be a crime. I am not wrong when I remind you of these things. What is it you want from me? A platitude? Kendra, I think it is time for Yigdal.
Yigdal Elohim Chai, the Yishtaba, Nimtor Yenei.
He sang the words of the concluding Sabbath hymn, words of love and kindness and mercy for man created in the image of God. And as we listened, I thought of the besetting sin of our generation. To open the book, to scan the text, and to seek confirmation only for what has already been done or for what is desired. I was only a rabbi. I was no bookkeeper of consciences. And yet, Simeon was on my conscience. He troubled me. He troubled me a great deal in the days that followed. And not only Simeon, but the man Jim, Simeon's slave. And then one night, there was a knock on the door of the house in Utah Street.
I'll see who it is. Why, Jim, is something wrong with Simeon?
Please, ma'am, you got to let me in quick.
Jim, what's happened?
Please, ma'am, please close the door.
Of course.
Reverend, you mustn't let him take me. I come to you because I heard speaker. You can't let him find me. I'll kill myself, Reverend.
Sophie, go and tend to the baby.
But Henrietta's fast asleep.
So please, Sophie, wake her, change her diaper, do something. Thank you, Sophie.
You're sending your wife out. You're sending her out to tell him about me.
No, no, Jim, believe me. Jim, you've run away, haven't you?
I won't be taken. No one is going to send me back. You tell her.
I ask you to believe me, Jim.
Swear it on the book. Oh, look, I'm sorry, Reverend. I'm scared. I'm terrible scared. I'm sorry.
Sit down, Jim. Sit down. There. Now, that's better, isn't it? Now, Jim, why did you run away? Were you mistreated?
No, the master ain't like other men. He never hurt me.
Then why did you run away?
Your people were slaves once. You ran away.
The baby's all right. Here, Jim. I've brought you this. Drink it hot.
Thank you kindly, ma'am.
It's all right, Jim.
Why is everybody good to me? I don't want no one to be good to me. I don't want to be treated special. I don't want to trouble no one. Don't know what to do, where to go. Ain't no place for me to go. No place, nowhere.
Jim,
I
gotta... Jim, please.
Well, if you say to the white man, mister, you forget your hat, he say, black man, go get it for me.
Jim, do you take sugar?
Yes, ma'am. 2 lumps, please.
Thank you, Sophie. I wanted to spare you this.
Henrietta's up. It's time to feed her. It's time to feed the baby.
Jim, you can stay here.
You won't give me up, Robin? I don't want to keep saying it, but don't give me up.
Trust me, Jim. I shan't violate the law.
And you're going to give me up? That's the law. Oh, it ain't no use. No use at all, I guess.
Jim, please trust me. Please try not to worry. For the present, you'll be safe here.
Simeon. Simeon Marks. Hold on there.
I'm in a great hurry, Rabbi Zold. Something's happened. Something I wouldn't have wanted to happen.
I won't trouble you now, Simeon. Will you come to my house tonight for Sabbath evening dinner?
Yes, of course. Thank you. But I've got to go now. Thank you again, Rabbi.
Simeon, have you heard? Rabbi, Simeon, have you heard the news?
Have they found him, Jacob?
Found who? For heaven's sake, sir. What are you talking about?
What's your news, Jacob?
Guns have been fired on Fort Sumter. It's come. War between the states.
I'm afraid you haven't eaten very much, Simeon. He's hardly touched a thing, Sophie, not even your potato pudding.
I'm upset. Forgive me for spoiling your dinner.
It's all right, Simeon. I'll clear away the things.
No, stay a while, Sophie. There's always time for a Sabbath song of grace. Isn't there, Simeon?
I suppose so.
Good. Sur Michelot. And a little less vibrato this time, Sophie.
For Michelot, a hallenu, borechu emunai, svanu vehosarnu, kidavaradonai, hazonetoslon.
Jim!
Excuse me, Mr. Simeon, but I've brought some more tea.
Jim! Oh, Jim, thank God you're safe.
I'm safe, Master.
I'm so glad to see you, Jim. I've missed you terribly.
I've missed you, Master.
Why did you run away from me, Jim?
I didn't run away from you.
No, Jim?
No, sir. I ran away from being a slave.
Will you come back, Jim?
I've stopped being a slave.
Come back, Jim. Come back as a free man. You're free, Jim.
You mean that, Mr. Simeon?
I've never lied to you, Jim.
No, sir. You never lied to nobody. I'll be mighty glad to work for you, sir, and mighty proud.
They took each other by the hand, while Sophie and I looked on, and it was as though 100 Sabbath candles were shining. Yet even in our radiance, I remembered the words of the French philosopher, "Truth is two opposites." For the congregation Ohev Shalom, like the American states, was sundered by the war. Some went north to put on the uniform, some went south and wore Confederate gray. And Simeon Marks came to me in the synagogue to say goodbye.
I'm leaving tonight, Rabbi Zohar.
You're past the age of fighting. Why do this, Simeon?
I'm a Southerner, Rabbi.
But you can't fight. You've just freed Jim. It's irrational.
I'm not fighting for slavery. I'm fighting for the right of the South to work out its own solution.
Simeon, it's inconsistent with everything you've done.
Maybe. The world would be pretty dull if people were logical and consistent. I'm fighting for the place, for the people I know. I guess I want to fight for myself. Yes, that's it.
You're unfit for fighting. I know you're not well anymore. Simeon, please reconsider.
I can still do things for the South. There's one way I can serve.
What way?
Goodbye, Simeon. Rabbi.
Simeon, what way? Tell me.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
You won't tell me.
I can't. But it's a way to help the South. That's all I can say. God bless you, Rabbi. Look after Jim for me.
The battles of Bull Run were fought, and the sick and the wounded were brought back. We tended them, men in soiled blue, men in bloody gray. And Sophie and I looked into the sightless eyes and the bleeding faces, looking for Simeon. The months passed, and the war was a terrible sickness and an agony. And we continued to look and to search. And then there was an end of searching.
This letter came. Mr. Simeon asked me to tell you.
Yes, Jim. Tell me what?
He's been taken by General Meade. Taken 3 days ago. They let him send this letter. He's going to be tried and he's going to be shot.
Shot?
Yes, Reverend. They're going to shoot him. Shoot him for a Confederate spy.
Mr. Lincoln can see no one, Rabbi. The cabinet is meeting.
A man's life hangs in the balance, Mr. Hay. I must see the president.
Sorry, Rabbi. My orders are strict.
Then please give Mr. Lincoln a message for me.
All right. I guess if I can do that, you'll find paper and pen on the desk.
No. Give him this Bible. Hmm? Let me mark this passage. Yes. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Take this in, Mr. Hay. Take this to Mr. Lincoln.
Strange you should send me a Bible, sir.
Not strange, Mr. Lincoln. I counted on it. I believe you were brought up on it, sir. So was I. Mr. Lincoln, if thy friend asks thy assistance, and thine enemy asks thine assistance, it is thy duty to aid thine enemy, because this is an act of self-conquest.
The Bible, Rabbi?
No, Mr. Lincoln, the Talmud. But perhaps you remember from the book of Proverbs, if thine enemy be hungry,
give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. I remember, Rabbi. I try not to forget.
Then, pardon, Simeon Marks.
No, Rabbi, I cannot. I cannot help him. I'm the leader of an army, and he is my mortal enemy. He was a competent spy for the Confederacy. We've tried for months to catch him. Rabbi, war has its own justice. If this man is a good soldier, he understands that. Look, Rabbi Zold, a silk flag I kept in this drawer for many months. A man by the name of Abraham Cohn sent it to me. City clerk of Chicago, I believe. I think you know the Hebrew text he sewed on it.
Yes, Mr. Lincoln. Have I not commanded thee? Be thou strong and of good courage, be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
I hope the Lord will also be with this spy, Rabbi Zold. I can do nothing but give you this pass to see him. I'm very sorry.
Don't grieve, Rabbi Zold. Mr. Lincoln was right. War is war. Cannot be softened. I'm ready, Rabbi Zold.
Jim sent this for you.
My prayer, sure. Thank Jim for me.
I will, Simeon.
I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. You see, I remember your text. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. I hope it's true. Rabbi.
Yes, Simeon.
I'm a coward. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid of pain. Terribly. There's so much pain in the world. I hope there will be less now. I've worked for the South. But whoever wins, I prayed to God it's for something better. I pray to God.
And I will give thee for a covenant of the people, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Rudolf Rosenthal, spiritual leader of the Temple on the Heights, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Rabbi Rosenthal.
On February 11th, 53 years ago to the day, Solomon Schechter, president of the Jewish Theological Seminary, delivered a profoundly moving tribute on the centenary of Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Much has changed in the century between 1809 and Schechter's address, but much has remained the same. Much more has changed in the last half century, since 1909, but much remains the same. The problems of religious bigotry and racial intolerance, though improved in some measure, remain the same. The problems of Lincoln's America remain the same. But does the promise of Lincoln's America remain the same? The big noise of American know-nothingism, of the so-called realpolitik, remain the same. But does the great voice of American idealism, its emphasis upon its moral mandate and mission, does it remain the same? In times past, the great voice of America reached across the seas. Its magnetism lured men from many lands. The voice reached into an obscure Romanian village where a red-haired boy, Solomon Schechter, read in a Hebrew newspaper of Abraham Lincoln, a rail splitter, a man of the people, who arose to become the president and the preserver of the United States. In the boy's romantic imagination, he saw in Lincoln the modern embodiment of Rabbi Hillel, who had traversed the same difficult path and, unscathed by adversity, had become the head of Israel's academy in the first century. Later, there was to be an even greater identification between Schechter and his beloved Lincoln. Just as the latter strove to unite the warring elements into a viable unity, so Schechter was to dedicate his life to bringing unity to a sorely divided Israel. Schechter's first address as president of the seminary echoed Lincoln's memory-evoking phrase, "Gentlemen, we cannot escape history." I say that Americans can only escape history by concentrating on the American image rather than upon the American ideal, by being more concerned with the ugly American than with America the beautiful, by bogging down with the big noise rather than the mighty voice. Much has been changed in the life of America. But the challenge of Lincoln and the promise of America, the last best hope of mankind, these remain the same.
Thank you, Rabbi Rosenthal. Eternal Light drama today, Mr. Lincoln and the Rabbi, written by Morton Wishengrad, was presented in honor of Lincoln's birthday and concludes this series of programs marking the observance of the Civil War centennial. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Rita Lloyd, Thomas Anderson, Leon Janney, Santos Ortega, Sam Gray, and Jim Bold. Norman Rose with Rabbi Zold. Next week, The Eternal Light will present the first of a series of programs dedicated to the ideals which govern the relationship between man and man. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.